Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Dr. Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program. And this is a show where I get to interview some really neat people, some of the best, the brightest, the most creative people in the world, or talk about subjects near and dear to my heart. Today we're going to interview a guest, however, during this 30-minute program. I'm going to focus on a very special guest. He's a doctor. He talks about midlife crises, and we're going to get into that in just a minute here. But first, a little background. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, and even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on my technique and how I'm training life coaches and others to use and spread this technology at www.mycoachtraining.com. My goal today, however, as it is in every show, is that you walk away with something powerful that you can use in your life that will add to your motivation and nourish what I call your seed of success. So whether you're a coach or just want to transform your life, this show is for you. So listen up and take notes. The guests I ask on this show are very knowledgeable, very intelligent, and have gone through transformations of their own. So they know how to speak of you know, changing your life and how to improve that and how to come through to the other end. So after about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our show hotline is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. Now, tonight's guest, a very special man. He's a former medical doctor, retired apparently. His name is Dr. Dyke Drummond, and he's written a book called The Midlife Crisis Handbook. His website is www.3hourmidlifecrisis.com. Three is spelled out. And he's quite an interesting fellow. I had an opportunity to speak with him during a consultation he gave about a couple of months ago. Impressed me with his knowledge of marketing, his knowledge of personal transformation, and very interesting fellow. Dr. Dyke, are you there?
Yes, I certainly am. Thanks for having me on the show.
Certainly welcome, sir. I was curious as to how you came up with the topic. I know you were a medical doctor, and I know that you had your own midlife crisis, obviously, because you wrote about it so well. You said that you had a successful medical practice, and you started, and starting your own company at age 40. But at the same time, you're also going through a divorce with your wife of 24 years. I'm sure that probably contributed to a lot to your book and to your website. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, how you and why you became a doctor, and then what happened during that crisis that you talk about.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I became a doctor basically because my mother and my grandmother had wanted to be doctors when they went to college, and I was the firstborn grandchild, so I had a big target on my chest that I was going to be the doctor that they didn't become.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up graduating from Mayo and being a family doctor, and I live in a little town north of Seattle called Mount Vernon, where I was a full-time family practice doctor, delivered 500 babies, headed up our 40-doctor multi-specialty group here. But when I got to the age of 40, I hit a brick wall, and basically I couldn't do medicine anymore. I totally burned out.
Uh-huh.
And at that point in time, I found myself not feeling like I had any options. There weren't any coaches around back then, and I didn't feel like there was anything I could do but except quit. And that's what I call my first midlife crisis. Midlife crisis, in my mind, is where you choose to take your life on a different path.
Yeah, right.
It really has nothing to do with the red sports car and men behaving badly. That's a Hollywood stereotype. But a midlife crisis is something that we all go through. Sometimes we do it ourselves. We choose to make a change, and sometimes life will knock us onto that new path. But at the age of 40, I quit medicine and became an entrepreneur and a life and business coach. and recreated myself professionally from the ground up.
Now, I noticed, Dr. Dyke, may I call you Dr. Dyke or Dr. Drummond? What are you
about? You can call me Dyke, please.
Okay, Dyke. What I noticed, Dyke, is that my own, you know, I'm 59 years old, so I've gone through a few of these myself, probably a couple of times. I've had a couple of divorces and remarriages, and I'm happily married now, I'm happy to say, for the last 17 years. But at the time, I went through some really horrendous, I realize now they were just really transitions into a whole new state of being and questioning, where you sort of fall into a place where you really don't know anything, but you're just sort of guided by impulses that you seemingly have no control over. Is this what you found yourself in the throes of, or was yours a little different?
Well, mine was very different, and having said that, though, any transition, any act of changing the trajectory of your life has to begin with an ending, which is very disconcerting. It's very confusing when everything you've been up to that point in time ends.
Right.
And you deconstruct yourself back down to your component parts. It's like taking apart a piece of Lego. You take it all down into the individual blocks, and then you're going to make it into something new now.
Right.
But what I know is that most people, when we make the changes in our lives, will make changes to avoid things that have been painful in the past. And no matter how many times we might want to avoid something that's been painful in the past, avoiding what we don't want doesn't necessarily get us what we do want.
That's so true. I noticed that, I guess after listening to you for a minute, I realized that I've probably gone through like 10 of these transformations in my life. I mean, some of them are a little more subtle than others, but definitely there are transformations in a whole new state of being. And I've learned that actually being on that path to where you really don't know where you're going is actually a state of being in and of itself. And actually, I had a guest, Michael Gerber, who talked about his book on Leonardo da Vinci, when he talks about this term called sfumato, which means living in uncertainty. And it takes a certain amount of courage to be able to live that. But you're talking about people going through midlife crises. Do you talk about embracing this sort of uncertainty, or how do you advise people as far as your own work is concerned?
Yeah, a lot of times what ends up happening when, again, you're in that uncharted territory where what you have been to this point is now gone, and it's not clear what's becoming, what you're turning into, what'll happen is you'll have feelings and you'll have dreams that will point you in a particular direction, and your goal may seem very, very far away. I mean, I work with a number of different people who decided, just like I did, to quit a career and become an entrepreneur.
Right.
And the goal of being financially independent as an entrepreneur can seem extremely far away when you're first starting out.
Yes, that's true.
And the key is that our mind, you were talking about hidden decisions, a lot of these hidden decisions in my mind are actually a consequence of the way our human brains are put together.
Huh?
I mean, if you're setting up towards a new goal, a lot of times it will feel like you're on one rim of the Grand Canyon, and your goal is all the way on the other rim.
Right.
And your brain, the fear in your brain makes it feel like the only way that you can possibly reach it is to run to the rim and jump, which of course you'll die, right? You'll never get there. Oh my God, it's never going to happen, right?
Right.
But what's interesting is there is actually a path from one rim of the Grand Canyon to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people walk it every year, and there's only one way you can do that. You look down at your feet and you take the first step.
Right.
And my experience is that the second step is only revealed in many cases when you take the first one.
That's true.
So if you're headed in what feels like a good direction, look down at your feet and take the first step. And then it doesn't so much end up about battling fear as in having a little faith that the next step will be revealed to you as soon as you take the first one.
Right. It's sort of like embracing not just the fear, but the uncertainty. Embracing the uncertainty that you really don't know what the next step will be until you take that step, is what you're saying.
Right. And what I found is that you may have heard of The Secret.
Oh, yeah.
The movie The Secret. You have a host, a guest list that sounds like it's those kinds of people. Well, the secret of manifesting something just by thinking about it or wishing about it is a bunch of hooey.
Mm-hmm.
My experience, though, is if you've looked into your heart and you've looked for a true desire, or something you want to create in your life. Mm-hmm. And based on that guiding principle, you're taking visible action in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's when support will pile in. As you begin to take that action, and people witness you taking it, you'll see support coming in from all sorts of different places that you never expected.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the law of attraction is only based on what's inside of you anyway. And taking action is how you unfold that inside to become whatever that is. So excellent advice, which, you know, there's no way to embellish on that. Tell me a little bit about when did you first notice, for example, Dyke, that you had your own midlife crisis? What was a turning point? What was a wake-up call, if you would? Something that happened that maybe you realized, you know, this is ending. Something is ending, or you just had an aha moment.
Well, I actually, like so many people, I actually suffered through, I consider there to be three main midlife crisis mistakes a person can make.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I call a frozen crisis. And that's where my life was on a trajectory as a doctor that I knew couldn't continue forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year since the first year of medical school, I said to myself I wanted to quit.
Yeah,
and it would typically happen in Christmas time when you get a little time off and you get to breathe a little bit and say, "Oh man, I got to figure out a different way to do this."
Mm-hmm.
And I would remember that I had said that the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that.
Right.
And in talking to people, I know that a lot of people experience that.
Okay.
Where you know you've got to quit at some point in time, you just never do. And then I actually had committed one of the second mistakes, which is what I call a burn to the ground crisis, where instead of making a transition plan from being a doctor to being something else, what I did was I quit. I walked away from my medical career because I didn't see any other options. And I set myself up for a lot of struggle, several years worth of struggle because of that. And so in my case, that crisis was one that was motivated by me making a decision eventually to change. And I would say that probably 25% of these kind of life changes that I'm calling a midlife crisis will happen because you choose to do it.
Right.
But the majority of them happen to us because life changes our trajectory for us.
Uh-huh, right.
For instance, my divorce actually occurred just 2 years ago.
Okay.
Like after 24 years of marriage. And what happened was, as something outside of me that happened to me, I didn't choose it, basically got me to start all over again.
Right.
And so there I was, basically burnt to the ground in terms of my vocation and my family and my house where I'd lived for 20 years, and I had to start all over again.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you started all over. You wrote a book, made $1 million, and now you're a successful coach. And you're so how's
well,
it going?
Basically, what I did was this. What I did was this. I said, "Wow, there must be some meaning in this need to recreate myself again."
Uh-huh.
And I began to interpret what was going on in my own experience of recreation in terms of seeing it happen all around me to all sorts of people in my age group. I'm 54.
Right.
And so I say that you're in midlife when you're old enough to feel your clock ticking. And if you're old enough to feel that, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the word crisis actually comes from a Greek word spelled with a K, probably pronounced krisis. It simply means decision. So a midlife crisis is when you make a decision to take your life on a new path, and you're old enough to feel your clock ticking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, how can we do that with some elegance and grace?
Right.
Mm.
And so what I did was I developed a workshop called the 3-Hour Midlife Crisis Workshop, where people would come in with a problem, something in their life they wanted to change, and in 3 hours I would take them through a workshop experience where they would then leave with an action plan to live the dream in the background.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is the 3-Hour Midlife Crisis. I did it as a live workshop, and I've actually turned it into a book that you can get on Kindle called The Midlife Crisis Handbook, and I've built a coaching practice around that.
Excellent. So they can get your book on Kindle, Midlife Crisis Handbook. Also, you've got the website, 3 spelled out, 3hourmidlifecrisis.com. Is there anything else you offer, Doc? I mean, I know you've got these products and stuff. Do you have any other handbooks or something that, well, I guess your book would go take people through the steps and show them what you're talking about, correct?
Yeah, the book actually, it's one of those books that has live links in it where you can come back and you can get guided imagery, you can get a weekly planner, you can get a free consult with me to talk about your specific situation. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things that I've done just recently, just since Christmas, is I've begun to take this work back into the physician community, and I've begun to work with doctors who are in the same situation I was in 12 years ago, where they're burned out and not able to see the options that are available to them. And I've started another website called thehappymd.com, and I have burnt out doctors there to see what's available to them in terms of options.
Oh, that's a really good niche right there. I notice as a doctor and also some other associates of mine and other professionals that I know, they do get burned out. And it's almost like a gilded cage where they feel like the income is there and they sort of get trapped because of the years and years and years of training and licensing. And you sort of get – it's actually a little tougher to get out of that, isn't it, Doc?
Well, it's really tough. Because, you talk about in your introduction this hidden decision. There's aspects of our neuroanatomy, the way our brains are wired as people, that when you're in medical training, you become conditioned. Brainwashed is another word for it. And it reinforces these tendencies in our brains to see danger all around.
Right.
And what it does is it backs doctors and other healthcare providers into a corner where the way we offer healthcare is toxic to the doctors in the system. And the reason that I say that is if you take all the studies that have ever been done on burnout, and there actually is a scale called the Maslach Burnout Inventory where you can measure the amount of burnout a doctor is experiencing.
Wow.
You take all the studies that have ever been done over time, you'll find that the average level of burnout worldwide, regardless of specialty, in every one of these studies, if you average them all together, is one-third. So if you go into an office where there's four doctors, likely one of them is burnt out that day.
Wow.
And it could be more. So the most important determinant of the quality of your interaction with your doctor, if you go in to see your doctor this week, the most important thing that determines the quality of that interaction with that doctor is going to be how burned out they are.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, even the training. I mean, medical school itself, just you stay up all night, you're cramming, you're on call. It's brutal. I mean, it's just the stuff that you have to go through just in the training alone. And then when you get out, especially if you're in the emergency room. I guess you worked in emergency room for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked in a little MASH unit emergency room where we didn't have surgery on site. And basically, if somebody was severely injured, I had to keep them alive until the helicopter could arrive from the big city down south.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's total emergency there. So so you were in practice how long?
I was in practice for 15 years. I delivered 500 babies, and I counted it up one time. 30,000 times I was in the room one-on-one with the patient.
Wow. Wow. So you got burnout fairly early, I guess you'd say.
I love medicine.
Uh-huh.
I loved being a doctor. I really did. I loved it intellectually. I loved it for the relationships that I built. But, however, it was one of those situations where I never really chose it.
Right.
And that's one of the things I think we potentially can get better at as we get older, is making conscious choices. Because a lot of times, in my case, and I talk to a lot of doctors, and one of the questions I always ask is, how did you decide to get into medicine? And it's amazing how rarely there's a really clear decision that was ever made. It typically is something that somebody just falls into.
It's interesting because we're speaking with Dr. Dyke Drummond, author of the Midlife Crisis Handbook, and teaches courses on the subject and really an expert on the subject. And you can call us, ask a question, area code 347-843-4544. If you have a question for Dr. Dyke, be sure to call in now and ask the question. And we'll be on the air probably another 10 minutes here, so be sure to call in and ask your questions now. Dr. Dyke, I had a question myself. I became a chiropractor, and it's interesting that you said that about just sort of falling into it. My father-in-law was a chiropractor. I really admired chiropractors that I'd met and been to. And my wife went to chiropractic college, and I ended up going along with her. And there was a two-for-one sale for a few quarters, so we just sort of slipped in together. That's how I got into it. It was almost like by default, I just sort of fell into it. And it was like you, I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed dealing with patients. I enjoyed, you know, the interesting work. It was fascinating work, but I just found out I just don't like staying in an office all day long. I just needed to get outside. I needed to do some other stuff, you know.
Well, and in my case, I got to the end of my undergraduate education. I had a BS in biology, and I thought to myself about graduation time, I thought, hey, what am I going to do here? Because if I keep going into biology, I'll end up living in a laboratory. And I couldn't even imagine that. That just sounded completely repulsive. And then it hit me almost like a revelation, because in my family, they never talked about wanting me to be a doctor. I know they did, but they never talked about it. I said, right. Wow, I've got the perfect pre-med degree. I'll apply to some medical schools, and if I get into a good one, I'll think about it. And then I applied to Mayo, and Mayo yeah. let me know that there were 920 out-of-state applicants, and I was one of five to get accepted. But this is kind of funny. I played rugby in college. My interview at Mayo was a doctor who had played rugby when he was in college, and we talked rugby for 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
We never talked about medicine or education or anything, and that's how I got into Mayo.
That got you in right there.
Yep.
We're talking with Dr. Dyke Drummond, author of the Midlife Crisis Handbook, and our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. Dr. Dyke, we've got a call in. Can you take a call now?
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Michael Craig. You're on the air. You have a question for Dr. Dyke?
Yes, hello, Mike. This is Evgeny. Hello, Dr. Dyke. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
How are you doing?
Good.
I have a question for Dr. Dyke, and the question is, how do we beat uncertainty and feeling of I don't care, just that feeling like I don't care when the heart is shut down to even like care? And it's a zombie-like state, unfortunately, where the person feels, I just don't care.
And are you talking about specifically for physicians or for somebody who's sort of like lost their lust for life, so to speak?
Lust for life, yes, when the person just lost it, and I know that the crisis can come, and during the crisis the person can feel like, at least the person can feel like, yeah, this is what I want, this is what I want to do. But what if the person doesn't even feel that? It's completely like shut down, no heart desires, no nothing, just emptiness inside.
Yeah, that's a tough one. A couple of things that I would look for. First of all, I would probably not see that person. And the reason that I wouldn't see them is they wouldn't call in because they don't have a driving need for help. They're just shut down. But I can certainly empathize with that feeling, because when I quit medicine, I remember it felt like everything tasted like sawdust and the whole world was in black and white. I just didn't know where else to turn. One of the things that I often advise people when they're in that situation is, one, no sudden moves, because a lot of people in that situation will quit, walk away, just like I did. And the real question is to go back in your history, at least this is one way to approach it, go back in your history to those things that you used to care about. Where are they now? Because some people, when they're feeling badly like this, will tuck them away for safekeeping in a protected place where they're isolated even from your desires for them. But I've rarely found anybody who is completely shut down like that who's not in some way clinically depressed. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Dr. Dyke.
Because if you're not depressed, you can typically work up some sense of outrage or discomfort or wanting something better. Sometimes when you stay in that place of being drained for long enough, though, you can really get depressed, and it can drain all the color and all the excitement out of everything. But I would have to sit down with that person and speak with them for an hour. And the reason that I say that is that this is not a question I can answer in 5 minutes on a radio show. But that's why I make available at both of my website 1 hour consults for folks who feel like they'd like to talk to me some more. So if you go to 3hourmidlifecrisis.com or thehappymd.com, you can book what I call a discovery session, and we can talk some more about it. Because I know for everyone who feels that way, like everything's gray, like there's there's nothing you're really excited or charged up about, I know that underneath the surface, those loves and those desires and those things that you want to do are still present.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dyke, and thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Good question. Good question, Dr. Dyke.
Yeah, there are some things that our talk radio society would like to be able to have answered in a real quick soundbite. But one of the things I know, especially working with doctors, is that most of us do not have a habit of introspection. We're not really aware of what's going on so much on the inside as we are of what's going on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of people, what I do is I help them develop a habit of introspection, of journaling, of meditation, of self-reflection,
mm-hmm.
so that they are much more in touch with what it is they really want, as opposed to all the bells and whistles that are going on the outside world.
Yeah, good advice. Good advice. We're so inundated with stuff on the outside that, yeah, introspection is a lost art form, really. So,
And there are all sorts of very simple ways, though, to maintain that connection with your inner reality. And that's what feels the best for most people, is when they have a distinct longing for something, they have a distinct connection with some sort of a feeling on their inner reality that then they can bring into their outer world.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. We're speaking with Dr. Dyke Drummond. He's an expert on midlife crises, and he's written the book called The Midlife Crisis Handbook. And you can find out more about his work and his courses and his book at www.3hourmidlifecrisis.com. Dr. Dyke, it's been an amazing conversation. Thank you for being on the show today. Unfortunately, we're going to have to cut this short. We've only got like 2 minutes left here. So in those 2 minutes, why don't you just do a quick summary or any remaining tip that you might have for people? Go. I'll give you the floor.
Right. Well, what I can say is this. If you're old enough to feel your clock ticking and you have an unlived dream or a desire that you've had perhaps for a long time that you'd like to fulfill in the time that you have left, the shortcut, and I call it a shortcut, is a functional midlife crisis. And what that means is, without a red sports car, without any kerfuffle or any mess or fuss, making the decision and getting an action plan to live that dream in the background. And that's what I've built the entire 3-Hour Midlife Crisis platform about. So I invite you to my website to check that out, and you can book an appointment with me, and we can talk about your specific situation as well.
That's great. For those that are thinking of calling Dr. Dyke up, it's an amazing process. If you get a chance to talk with him, call him up, and take advantage of that free consultation, because it is very good. He's very insightful in his discussion with you. So this is Dr. Michael Craig. This is Logical Soul Talk, and we've been interviewing Dr. Dyke Drummond about his Midlife Crisis Handbook, which is his book, and his website, 3hourmidlifecrisis.com. Be sure to check it out. Now, next week, we've got, I've got a pre-recorded interview with one of the gurus of marketing, and not just internet marketing. He started way back in mail order marketing. He's an older gentleman. I had to go up to Dalton, Georgia to interview him, and I'm going to play that next week. So it's not going to be a live show. It's not going to be a call-in, but Mr. Jim Straw will be interviewed for the show. So be sure to tune in 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, the 24th of April, to listen to the one-hour interview with Jim Straw. It's an amazing hour, and you're going to learn a lot about marketing in general. If you're in any kind of business at all, you'll want to hear this. So be sure to stay tuned for that. We're about to call it quits now. I guess, Dr. Dyke, are you still there?
I am.
You got 10 seconds. Go.
Now it's time to live the dream. That's all I can say. Now is the time to live the dream. But when is now not the right time to live your dreams?
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Dr. Dyke. I appreciate you being on the show. And I'll send you a copy of my book, and I'd like for you to get some feedback. So thank you very much for joining me. And again, this is Dr. Michael Craig, and this is Logical Soul Talk. So, Dr. Dyke, this is the outtake moment. If you've had any reflections over the last during the music thing that you want to share with people, now's the time to do it.
Well, one of the things I wanted to share is that this stereotype of the red sports car and the men behaving badly, that's just a stereotype. It's got nothing to do with an authentic or a functional midlife crisis. And it really keeps a lot of people frozen in a situation they don't want to be in. It keeps people from changing. And there really is a way when, again, you feel your clock ticking and you want to make a change, there is a way to do that without the mess and the fuss that you see in the movies.
Well, suppose you like red sports cars and you want to...
There's times to buy red sports cars that work, but to tear apart a marriage and to go down that road, it does happen. It's a stereotype for a reason because it does happen rarely, but it's got really nothing to do with a midlife crisis. That's a midlife catastrophe.
I understand completely. There's so many different midlife crises, it's not even funny, and I appreciate the work that you do, and Godspeed to you, and I hope you're very successful in it.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show.
Okay. Well, Dr. Dyke, I'll be in touch with you, and I'll send you a link to the show so you can get that and use it. And have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Right on. You too.
All right. Take care.